Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Just a quick, also lending my voice to the men's conference chorus. Amen. Fight for your family. I tell you what, there's a whole bunch of men in the Connecticut district that are willing to fight for their family. Amen. And we will fight a spiritual battle. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if I get the statistics right, if a woman comes to God and 17% of those that are in her household, or 17% of the time her family will come to church with them. Amen. But if a man comes to God, and he's the head of that family, and the man has a commitment to God and comes to the Lord and serves God, 93% of the time, the family will come too. Amen. Praise the Lord. The devil would like to take you out, man of God. Amen. But he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A strong church has to have strong men. Amen. Thank God for the women. I'm not downplaying the importance of women. They're very, very important. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank God for godly men. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, and one more note, a good report. The retreat, again, will be next fall. But there is a men's conference the first weekend of March of 2026. Amen. So the first weekend in March, if you kind of gray that out, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. It's just Friday and Saturday? All right. Well, Friday and Saturday, the first portion of the weekend in March of next year. Amen. There will be a men's conference. Amen. And I'm quite sure that there will be a message for you, man of God, at that conference. Praise the Lord. Esther, chapter 4, verse number 14 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Praise the Lord. I think I have a teaching session this morning. But we'll see. Sometimes I preach teaching. Praise the Lord. Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says this. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. I'll get more into it in just a moment, but my topic today, for such a time as this. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your will would be accomplished, Lord, that even for this day, in our lives, right now, and these, the people that are here, Lord, I pray your will to be accomplished in us for this time, this day, Lord, even this hour, Lord, for your will to be accomplished. Thank you for it, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This book of Esther is a great story. Well, let me get into a portion of the scriptures here. I've got a chapter 4 is where I'm going to bring you, beginning there at verse number 1. Trying to set some more detail to the background of this message. Esther 4, beginning at verse number 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Broken, torn, distraught, if you will. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. It was as far as he could go. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So he's not the only one that is broken by what has happened. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, put some clothes on, and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it is and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Verse 8, also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come unto the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Please go tell him. Bring him this message. Go. Gather together all the Jews that are present at Shushan at the palace, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, And if I perish, I perish. Verse 17, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. What a terrible situation. What an awful circumstance. You see, in this story, bad decisions, bad things, unfortunate happenings. You know what that happens in our lives today? Bad things happen in our world. Bad things happen even to good people. In our opening verse, Esther chapter 4, verse 14, let me read it again from the New Living Translation, just slightly different. If you will keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows? If perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. In this story, there's some important characters, the players here. Esther, of course. Esther was a Jewish girl who came to be by a miraculous path queen to King Xerxes or Ahasuerus. Mordecai, he is a government ruler just under the king, a servant of the king. Excuse me, that's Haman. Haman is the wicked one. He's the government official that's right under the king, and he's the one that came up with this evil plan to destroy the Jews. Mordecai, according to Esther 2, verse 7, I'm not reading that, but he is a cousin to Esther, who raised her when the parents died. Mordecai raised Esther as his own daughter. And these players tell of this story in different positions. Says there's a wicked one. There's the girl that is innocent but yet used by the hand of God. And a man that believes and trusts in God. Mordecai. It was the hand of God, I believe, that brought each of them, or at least Esther and Mordecai, those that trust in God, God brought them to the very place that they needed to be for God to use them in His great plan. Believe it was providence. Someone say providence. Providence has happened to many in the Bible. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther. Their families, their people, arrived in Babylon as slaves. They were brought there, not of their own accord. But yet, that's where they were. That was the life that they were leading. In a land that didn't believe in the one true God. Our land, the United States of America, is a blessed land. I'm happy. I'm glad. I would not want to live in any other country on the face of the earth. I believe this is the place that God wants me to be. And yet, the vast majority don't know the Lord that I know. Don't believe in Jesus the way that I believe that who Jesus is. That He really is. Jesus is the Almighty God. Amen. Amen. These people had a divine hand upon their life. I can almost guarantee you, it is certainly clear in my mind, that they did not choose to become slaves. It was pressed upon them. It was not their wish, but yet that's where they were. Sometimes we find ourselves in places that we didn't try to put ourselves in, that we are put there by circumstance. But I tell you, there is a hand of God that can and will deliver us when we trust God. Amen. It was yet in due time. It's recorded in this story. Esther's mission and her duty unto God would clearly become known. She was used by God. We'll get to that in a little bit. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Everything in life is not pleasant. I've had unpleasant things in my life. Even recently, things that I'm not happy about, things that I don't like, but yet they are happening. And it does affect my life. It was not coincidence that Esther was chosen by King Ahasuerus. They had, if you will, the queen failed and was put out of the queenship. And they had, if you will, a beauty contest. And the beautiful young maidens were prepared to come before the king. And whoever wins the contest gets to be queen. Well, this Hebrew girl who chose not to do all the things that everyone else was doing, she was the one chosen by the king to be queen. God, I believe, exalted her to that place. I tell you what, God will bring you places that you didn't know that you could go. God will bring you out and bring you to the place He wants you to be. God will pick you up and carry you to the place of your deliverance. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it seems as if that almost, it seems like in our human mind it was by chance. But no, I believe everything in my life is directed by God. You think sometimes, well, if I would have went one day before or one day after, it would have never have happened. Sometimes if you slow down and stopped at the yellow light instead of hurrying up and going through. Sometimes if you turn left instead of right. Sometimes just by very, very close call. Things happen in our life. We don't control all those variables. We don't have control over everything in our life. Stuff happens to us that we don't like. And yes, good stuff happens to us that we do like. But I tell you, in all of the good and in all of the bad, God is in my life. I can trust that God is in control when good things happen. You know, and everything that you think may be good may not be good. If you get the opportunity to take a job and it's going to keep you out of the house of God, it's going to keep you away from the Lord, that's not good. You know, I was torn. My son mentioned it at men's conference. When I was offered, they were pretty much pushing me on my job to consider coming to Connecticut. And they were pushing me to, well, just go take a look. Just look at these papers here and look at these things and look at all that we'll do for you. We'll help you. We'll pay for your move. We'll pay for your house. We'll do all the stuff in between. We'll give you a raise. We'll make you the boss. What is all that? When I hear the noise of the world, I don't want to listen to the noise of the world and disregard the hand of God. Amen. I brought my family. We checked out Connecticut. And yes, God is in Connecticut. Praise the Lord. I had visited Manchester Church and Brother Fred Dibble Jr.'s church, and both services, God was in those services, and okay. The hand of God is being preached. You see, I wanted to make sure that there was a church that I could bring my family to. Not just any church. I'm talking about a church that's going to preach the name of Jesus. That's going to tell them what you have to do to be saved. Amen. That there would be people that would influence my children to live for God. Amen. It was important to me. Amen. It's not happen chance. Amen. I believe God made the way. Amen. I believe that. With all my heart, with all my being, I know that God had His hand upon me. Amen. It's not chance. Amen. I found this little writing by a man named Longfellow. It says, by going a few minutes sooner or later, by stopping to speak with a friend at the corner, or by meeting this man or that, or by turning down this street instead of the other, we may let slip some impending evil by which the whole current of our lives would have been changed. There is no possible solution in the dark enigma, but one word: providence. I tell you what, somebody, some apostolic Jesus name person witnessed to my grandmother on an Indian reservation in northern woods of Wisconsin, amen, that influenced her family and my family and my children, and my grandchildren are now receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. One turn affects so many people. Amen. But it's the hand of God. It's not chance. I believe God set it in order. Esther had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have to come into the kingdom of God for this time. You and I are here for a reason. You see, there was a commitment to the cause. I could see it in my grandparents and in my mother. I could see it in my own life as a young dad. I could see it in the lives of my sibling that there's really high importance on finding the will and following God. Amen. Mordecai had a devotion to God. By contrast, Haman wanted to be a ruler. Haman wanted people to bow down unto him. To a Jew, that was worship. As a worshiper of the true God, Jehovah, Mordecai refused to bow to Haman's presence. He's not going to do it. Sometimes we just got to, you know, the world might pressure you to do something. Oh, don't you know that it's wrong? There's so many people that said this is right. I've been pressured like that. But you know what? You got to just choose to do what you know is right. Amen. I do not believe that Esther's cousin, Mordecai, intended to be disrespectful. But he also had a belief in God that would not allow him to bow down to any man. He's not going to do it. He just made up in his mind, I am not going to bow down to any false god or to any person for any reason, at any time, in any place. I'm not going to do it. It was a conviction. It was a decision that he had already made up in his mind. We got to make up in our minds that we will serve the Lord. He simply could not give the worship that belonged to God to a mere man or to an object. Couldn't do it. Would not do it. You see, this is the first commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's right there in the Word. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And yes, your decisions will affect your family. They will. Man of God, I've got men conference all inside my head. It's like ricocheting up around my brain. Man of God, choose to serve the Lord. Choose God. The world is going to pull you in all kinds of directions, but let a godly mind be in you. Serve the Lord. Mordecai decided, I'm not bowing down. Everyone else is bowing. Haman's going by, and Mordecai is, if I can keep these characters straight in my head, it'd be good. He's the only one. Everyone else is bowing down. Mordecai standing there. He's not making any lewd gestures. He's not yelling any profanities. He's standing there, looking at him as he goes by. Man, that made evil guy Haman. He was so mad. Who is that man? It's Mordecai. He's a Jew. He believes he cannot. He believes the Jews believe. Not just him, but his whole race. All the Jews are just like him. I would that everybody was just like me. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Man, that guy was so mad. Haman was steaming. God's people have always been willing to lay their lives on the line for truth. You're no different. The world is going to come against you. The world's going to try to get you to compromise. The world is going to want to, well, don't you know that thousands of people have said, you know, I don't care if it's millions of people. Probably is millions of people that disagree with me. God is still the truth, the life, and the way. Doesn't matter if the whole world says to do it some worldly way. Do it God's way. Do what God said. Amen. There are others in the Bible that stood for their belief. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. See, they sacrificed to idols, and I'm not eating that stuff. Nor with the wine which he drank. No, I don't need to be getting drunk. I'm not doing it. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Everyone else can do whatever they want. I'm not speaking against them. But I choose not to do it that way. His contemporaries, three young Hebrew men, Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, they were in trouble because they wouldn't bow down before this false image of what they said was a god. What the world says is not always true, by the way. It was just a big statue. But they said, when you hear the sound of the music, all the bunch of different instruments, everybody has to bow. These three guys didn't. 17 and 18, Daniel 3. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Ooh, those words made the king mad. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, that's not really my message today, but God did deliver them. They did go in the fire, but they didn't burn. God was with them. God delivered them. And the whole nation knew who their God was. Amen. Praise the Lord. The apostles, they were not exempt. Acts chapter 5, verses 40, 41. And to him they agreed that when they had called the apostles and beaten them, how would you like to get beat up for preaching? Whew, seems kind of rough. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. You need to stop preaching Jesus. I hope there's enough evidence to convict me. Because I intend with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with everything that is within me, I want to tell you how good Jesus is. I want to tell you that He is the Savior of our lives. That He can and will save you. Praise the Lord. Verse number 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were happy about it. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, it is difficult in today's culture to find those who have convictions strong enough to keep them in times of temptation and testing. Amen. It's not easy. There is going to be pressure from the world. There is going to be those around you that will pressure you to agree with the unagreeable. I just can't agree. I'm going to love the Lord. I've made up in my mind. This is how I want to live, and this is how I intend to die, is living for Jesus. It's not the first time. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, Old Testament now. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Sometimes we got to stand in the gap. Amen. I've had people, you know, come and ask for prayer. I'm standing in the gap for my child, my friend. I'm praying for them. We do need to pray for them. We do need to pray for our children. We do need to pray for our friends. We do need to stand in the gap. At a time that is very close, right now, today, it's time is very close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you that it's going to be today. But I tell you it could. It could be today. I cannot say that it will be tomorrow or that next month or next year. I don't know. But I do know that we need to be ready when He arrives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right now is the time to stand for the Lord. And there's a result of standing. In this story, in Esther, there was a result for the standing up for the things of God. When Haman saw Esther chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Man, this plan was so evil. He was going to get everybody to gang up on the Jews and kill them all the same day. That, in short, that was the plan. Righteousness angers Satan. If you are really living for the Lord, somebody probably that's very close to you may not like it. Live for God anyway. Live for God anyhow. Choose to serve the Lord. Haman symbolized the devil in my mind. He was even willing to fund his wicked plan himself. Just look to the online world. There's so much evil there. They're calling perversion and evilness good. Look at all the good I'm doing. No. No. I don't agree, and I'm not going there. Even if they talk bad about you, if they say things that are not true, even when it's hard, choose to serve the Lord. I tell you, I'm there right now. You got to have it made up in your mind. Let me move on. Many, even people who call themselves Christians, have seemingly fallen asleep and need to be awaked. Amen. This is not the time to let up on our fight against evil. Dads, fight the spiritual fight for your family. Amen. Moms and dads, it's worth the fight to serve the Lord. It's worth it to fight the spiritual battle. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now is the day that you should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, today is the day that you can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the presence and the power of God to strengthen you, to help you, that you need God in your life. Right now. Today's the day. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Mordecai would not bow to Haman, it was deceptive words. He convinced the king, sign this law and we'll get rid of all the troublemakers and we'll make you exalted. We'll bring a bunch of money into the treasury. It's going to be really great, king. King signed it. It was law. They were going to do it. You know, a deliverer is going to be in our lives. God will deliver us. Amen. You see, providence was already at work. Let me read. Esther chapter 4, verse 14, New Living Translation. We read it already twice, but I want to read it a third time. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Yes, you read the back of the book. The church is delivered to glory. The question is, am I going to be in the church? You get to choose. Do you want to be in the church and be delivered? Are you going to walk away from God and serve evil and do unrighteously and be without God? And it's not even take your chances. Because that decision is doomed to destruction. Heaven or hell? That's not even in my notes. It's true. Esther declared a fast. Esther chapter 4, Esther had made her decision. Verse number 16, go gather unto all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. And yes, fasting does help us be sensitive to God. Helps us to know what God would want us to do. Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. It's not legal. I'm not supposed to go. I haven't been invited. And if I perish, I perish. Fasting and prayer works. Amen. It is worth it for you to find the will of God. For you to know what God would have you to do. It is worth it to seek His face and to pray and to find the will of God for your life. Yeah, there is trouble, but God is for you. Haman was but a tool in the hand of Satan. Our real battle is against the invisible forces of Satan. And this battle is not ours alone. We're not fighting this battle by ourselves. It's the Lord's. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Coming against Haman was no different than David coming against Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. He's speaking to a 9-foot giant. No spear, no sword. He's got two leather straps and a rock. A pouch with a few more. God's going to give you into the hand of the Lord today. Amen. You know, you can decide. Devil, you're going down today. Today, I will serve the Lord. Amen. You can set in your mind, today, I will serve the Lord. Esther called in every Jew that was in the city of Shushan to join her and her maidens in a fasting and prayer for 3 days. The end of those days of preparation, after that fast and time of prayer, Esther went in before the king. Faith and works. You got to believe God, but then you got to do something. Then you got to actually live for God. Then you got to actually do what Jesus said. James chapter 2, verse 26, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You might say, well, I believe in God. Well, if you do believe in God, serve the Lord. Let your actions speak louder than words. Actually obey what the Scripture has said. Serve Jesus. I thought I was teaching, but now I'm preaching. Esther had to do her part for the people to be saved. She declared her commitment to the work of God with the words, if I perish, I perish. Sometimes you just got to go ahead and do it. If they think I'm wrong, they'll just have to think what they think. You just have to go ahead and do what you know you need to do in serving the Lord. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. Verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. She received an audience with the king. Amen. You see, there is a work of the Spirit. Once again, the Spirit of God intervened on her behalf. Jumping down in the story, Esther chapter 6, verse 1. Now that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. There was before time. Mordecai had heard a plot to kill the king and overrule the kingdom, and he told on him, and the king found out about it, and the king was saved. Mordecai saved the king's life from an assassination attempt. And it was recorded in the record of the king. Well, that night, the king heard the reading of what Mordecai did, and what did we do that was good for this guy? How did we reward him? The people with the book told him, well, we didn't do anything for him. So the king, when Haman came in, what should be done to the man who the king delighteth to honor? Haman's thinking, oh, he must be talking about me. Well, I think you ought to put a crown on his head. I think you ought to put the royal apparel on him. And I think you ought to put him on the king's mule, on that great white horse. That, you know, the really beautiful, great, great one? You ought to put him on that horse and let him be led through the streets of the city, led by the rulers of the kingdom, and they should be crying, "Thus does the king do unto those who the king delighteth to honor." He's thinking, that's me. And the king said, "You're right. Don't let anything drop. Don't let anything fall. Do everything that you've said for Mordecai." Yeah. You know, right before that, Haman was thinking to go to the king and get permission to hang him. He had made this great big tall gallows in his yard. And he was planning to hang Mordecai on the gallows. Row is right. Wow. Things turned around. You see, God has a way to twist the devices of the devil against himself. This is a case of that. Longer story shorter, two banquets. Both Mordecai and Haman were to meet the king at a banquet in the king's house. And finally, the plot was told. It was this wicked Haman. He's trying to kill all the Jews. "I'm a Jew." And the king was so mad. It was just, you could see it in his eyes. "You're coming. He meant to kill my queen? Who is this man?" I can just imagine in my mind. "No. He is." Sorry, I was almost going to point at you. "He is a man." Oh, the king is steaming mad. Trying to think of what to do. And when the king's got his back, he's trying to convince the queen, change your mind. Say something quick to the king. He falls on the bed with her. And he comes back, and the king, and he's got a hold of the queen on the bed. "Take him out. Hang him." You can read it yourself. That's the short version. Go ahead and stand with me. Musicians, come. I tell you what. God, I'm getting a ring because I'm in front of the speaker or something, I think. I'll go back to my spot. Esther chapter 7. It's open towards the end of the book. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? And what is thy request, and it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom? Ask whatever you want." I'll tell you what, you can ask Jesus for anything. Amen. The queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request." Haman's evil plot was revealed. He got condemned to death. I'll tell you what, we need to stand. I'm asking us as a church, as a body of Christ, dads in particular, and moms too, families too, everybody, we got to stand for the things of God. Yeah. The world wants to tell you that it's okay if you're not married. To be in a, you know, live as a husband and wife. You know what? It's not okay. If you want to live that way, get married. There's homosexuals out there. That way is not right before God. Amen. There's men trying to be women and women trying to be men. I tell you, it's not right before God. They're trying to tell you that, oh, this internet site is okay. No, it's not. Choose you this day who you will serve. You cannot listen to the things of the world. You can't follow all the voices in the internet. You can't do all the things that the other people do. We have to do what Jesus says and follow Him. Amen. In my closing, come on up to this altar. We'll spend the next, 3 to 5 minutes or so. God, what is it that you'd want me to do? Lord, I want to set my life in order. I want to do things just how you want me to do it. God, help me to stand right, Lord, before you. Help me to do the things that are right, Lord, in your sight. God, help me to live for you. Would you lift your hands? Hallelujah. Lift your voice with me. Join me and ask God, Lord, help me to serve the Lord. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's sing right now.